Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And welcome to this last segment of Thursday Live from the studios of Radio Sai. There are so many good news from this heavenly hamlet, the most happening place on the planet. Yes, this is the vortex of goodness of this universe, Prashantinilayam. In a couple of days, the annual Gram Seva by the students of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School begins, starting from October 5th, 2013. For the next 9 days, students would cover 150 villages all in the vicinity of Prashantinilayam, sharing the love of Bhagwan in the form of food and clothes. They will do bhajans and Nagar Sankirtan in these rural hamlets, speak to these rural folk and charge their environment with Bhagwan's love. More than 2,000 students from the 4 campuses of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, along with the students of the higher secondary school, will participate in this 10-day festival, which will proffer food and clothes to at least 50,000 rural households. This is one of the ways how students of Baba's educational institutions celebrate Dasara, the ancient festival dedicated to the Divine Mother. Swami initiated this Gram Seva program in the year 2000, and since then, for more than a decade now, come Dasara and the boys find themselves happily in the villages. And they relish every moment of it, of planning this huge operation of reaching 500,000 homes, mingling with the rural folk, enjoying the beauty of the countryside, and at the same time marveling at the simple, unsophisticated and contented life of these brethren, living not very far from where they live. In fact, if you speak to any of the students, each one has some beautiful things to share about Gram Seva. For some, it is deeply touching. For some, it is lots of learning. For some, it is enlightening. And for some others, it is very humbling as they stand shoulder to shoulder with these villagers and listen and learn about their lives, their struggles and pains, their joys and gains, their simplicity and forbearance. So this is the Seva Yajnam, the saga of Seva, that will start day after tomorrow, October 5th, 2013. But this is only one aspect of the Dasara celebration. As most of us know, what also happens is the Dasara Yajnam, the 7-day long Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajnam, the sacrifice performed according to Vedic injunctions in the Purnachandra auditorium, filling the air with powerful vibrations. And this Yajnam will start on October 8, 2013, and the Purnahuti will happen on Vijayadashmi Day, October 14th. Since the 70s, or maybe even before that, Baba instituted this beautiful sacrifice to be a part of the Dasara festival in Prashantinilayam, and the tradition continues till this day. But even before the Yajnam became a part of the Dasara festival, the celebration of Dasara existed in Prashantinilayam. In fact, the earliest Dasara in Prashantinilayam was in 1946. It was in the month of September that year, and that was a remarkable occasion. Mind you, the year was 1946. The Prashantinilayam Mandir was still in the womb of time. There was only the old Mandir, or the Patha Mandir, as it is to be called. And devotees wanted to celebrate Dasara, this lovely festival, in Prashantinilayam with Bhagwan, and they pleaded with Bhagwan if they could do that. And Swami consented to their prayers, and so the devotees brought military tents from Bangalore in lorries, leveled the ground in front of the mandir and so on, and so that all these visiting devotees could sit comfortably. And during this time, one awesome thing happened. Just a couple of days before the 9-day festival, Swami called Seshagiri Rao, the first pujari of Prashanti Mandir, and he told him to bring an empty vessel. And when that was brought, Swami simply rubbed both his hands on top of that container, and in a lovely cascade, vibhuti started flowing from his hands into the vessel. Everyone obviously was wonderstruck. We have heard how in the later years Swami used to have the streams of vibhuti flow from an upturned vessel onto the idol of Shirdi Sai. But this is what happened on the first Dasara. And Swami then told Seshagiri Rao Garu to keep the vessel in the mandir. And Swami added, he said, I got this vibhuti from the dhuni that I lit in the previous avatar. I got this vibhuti from the sacred fire that I lit in the previous avatar. This is what Swami said. Perhaps just to show them once again, to confirm their faith, their belief that Shirdi Sai is Satya Sai, Satya Sai is Shirdi Sai. And it is this vibhuti which was given as prasadam at the end of the festival, and Swami personally distributed this to every devotee who had come to Prashantinilayam to be a part of the Dasara celebrations. There is another very beautiful incident concerning the first Dasara. In preparation for the festival, the devotees had brought a power generator set from Tiruchirappalli so that it could be used to generate electric power for the celebration, and this engine ran on petrol. But unfortunately, petrol was so difficult to procure then. Mind you, as I told you, this was 1946. India had not even attained independence. That happened only a year later. So when they mentioned about this problem to Swami about not being able to get petrol, Swami came to the place where this engine was placed and he instructed those present there to fill the engine with water and turn it on. It goes without saying that the engine started working. But the most amazing thing is, no one was surprised. All the people around there, it was nothing really startling for them because they saw this happen on a daily basis, a moment to moment. They were seeing so many out of the world manifestations and miracles of Swami's power and grace that this was just one of the scores of things that they saw from dawn till dusk. That was how beautiful those days were. Unfortunately, we do not have day-to-day documentation of how those days were, how wonderful it would be to read such accounts. So Dasara celebrations began way back in 1946, and every evening in that year, 1946, Swami was taken on a procession, and on the palanquin, Swami was seated richly decorated with flowers, and the procession with bhajans and band went to every lane and by lane of Puttaparthi. And amazing things continue to happen even now. As Bhagwan sat on the palanquin, devotees offered prayers to Swami, bowing down before him. And as they did, as they prostrated, Swami would appear to everyone according to their own belief or faith. If someone was a devotee of Lord Rama, as he prostrated to Swami, he saw the vision of Rama. Someone saw him as Krishna, the third saw him as Devi. So that was how phantasmagoric the first Dasara was. And Swami would often take out flowers from the garlands offered to him and throw these flowers at the crowd. And incredibly, these flowers would turn into silver or gold coins. In fact, Balapattabhi, one of the earliest devotees, still wears this flower turned silver coin that he received that day. It has the image of Shirdi Sai imprinted on it. So that was the beautiful Dasara celebration 1946. And since then, this worship of the Divine Mother has been one of the most elevating experiences in the Prashanti calendar. One cannot forget how Baba would gleefully sprinkle the sacred waters of this yajnam on everyone present on the last day of the celebration. How he materialized Navaratnas, the 9 gems, and offered to the fire on the final day. How beautiful and radiant he looked as he stood in front of the fire as the Yajnam Purusha. And how scholars and students every evening filled everyone with stories and glories of the Divine Mother. And tonight, I thought it would be appropriate just to reminisce those moments, to listen to the experiences of some of those lucky ones who had the blessing of not only witnessing but also participating in the Dasara celebrations right from the early years, how they were blessed with the grace of the Divine Mother Principle. I spoke to two such early students of Baba's university, Mr. Vedanarayan and Dr. Sonam Gyamso. Both of them are illustrious alumni of Baba's college and have been deeply involved with the Sai mission in various ways, and what they shared about Dasara was truly enlightening, very revealing. So that is what we will be soaking in tonight. But before we proceed, let us pause and first offer a most prayerful salutation at the lotus feet of Sai Ma and pray to her to be with us, to forgive us for our shortcomings and give us the blessing of undiminished and undiluted devotion to His lotus feet. O Divine Mother, please, please be with us. With this prayer, let's begin this yet another episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And today we discuss about experiencing the Divine Mother Principle through Mother Sai. The time in the studios now is 9 o'clock. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and as I mentioned, we will listen today to the reminiscences and reflections of Mr. Vedanarayan and Dr. Sonam. But before we move on to that, let us first immerse ourselves in invoking this Divine Mother, this Sai Jagat Janani.
Sarvarisha Vanan Kapati Nira Taruna Tarani Ka
So that was an offering by the students to Swami way back in 2006. Invoking the Divine Mother. And now, let me play for you excerpts of a conversation with Mr. Vedanarayan, wherein he shared about how he had not once but several times profound experiences of the Mother Principle directly from Swami Himself.
One of the beautiful or one of the fundamental aspects of Bhagavan is that of motherly aspect. In fact, throughout in my life, I have looked at Swami as my mother. And Dasara being the 10 days worship exclusively for mother, the Navaratri, the 9 nights for Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati is worshipped in that order. And not only in India, throughout the world, these 9 days, all the devotees worship the motherly aspects. This is called the Sharat Navaratra. Because one comes in the summer also. But this particular Dasara or Navaratram is called Sharat Navaratra because this comes during the season of Sharat. It has been my desire that I want to worship Swami as my mother from the beginning. So how to go about it, I was just wondering. And whenever we are with Swami, any festival what we do in Prashanti Nilayam, we want to correlate with Swami, otherwise it is no meaning to us. My main aim for worshipping Mother was to go more physically closer to Sai Ma, because motherly aspect is one thing, it is always giving and forgiving. So from that point of view, anybody who stays in Prashanti Nilayam, after all, what is that we want? We want to be more closer to Swami, physically
near and dear to Him.
And every moment of our life, we want attention from Him.
Yes.
That is what our entire life is all about.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's all meaningless.
Absolutely.
It was way back in 1976. I had joined Swami's college. In fact, in the year 1975, it was the 50th birthday of Swami. Only that year, I don't think we did not have Dasara celebration because birthday being so closer. In 1976 onwards, I had the great good fortune to be in Prashanti Nilayam to witness this great event of Dasara. I think in between again, I think if I correctly remember, around 88-89, 1 year, that year also Swami did not have Dasara due to
Yajnam part.
So other than that, almost all the years I had the great good fortune to witness the Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna, which used to last for 7 days. And those were the days we have just joined Swami's college. And you know, as a child, my father used to bring me during Dasara here because he used to love listening to Vedas.
Okay.
And he used to always bring, and till the last arati is over, still we used to wait in the Purnachandra auditorium just listening to the mantras which used to go on. From then onwards, I had that passion, to be part of the Dasara. Those were the days the college has not started. I am talking about this much before, in the 68, that part. College has not begun. That time only the Veda Pathshala used to be there.
Yes.
And I used to envy those boys that how lucky these children are. And I used to even tell...
So you used to come as a small boy.
Yes.
You became a student in 76.
Only in 76.
But you used to come since
regularly. 60s. Yes. So that was my desire, that how fortunate I will be to get an admission in Swami's Veda Pathshala. See, whenever you make a wish in the positive way, Swami will fulfill it sooner or later. He will definitely grant, but in His own, He knows what is best. His own
your desire is never goes unfulfilled.
Unfulfilled. So, I used to witness all these Dasara functions, and in fact, those were the days that it was an unforgettable event. Dasara, I mean, the crowds were so heavy. In fact, it is very, very difficult, Dasara and birthday time, anybody to come to Puttaparthi, because everything will be full. I mean, it is a flood of humanity, nothing more. From Mandir onwards, Purnachandra Auditorium, you cannot get a space inside at all. It used to be so full. And even the first day, as well as the last day, Bhagavan used to come in procession actually. And all the devotees used to stand both the sides. And it is such a wonderful sight to see. And those who are the beautiful days, Swami used to wear long garlands. And He used to also take the paan.
Yes.
And His lips used to be so beautifully red in color. And in fact, I don't know how to describe that. All the words, it'll just go shallow if you start describing that. So beautifully Swami used to come onto the stage, and the fire, how it is created for the yajnas. So this used to go on for the 10 days. Even the last day, how Bhagavan used to come in the procession and the Purnahuti part. After the Purnahuti, He used to do the Abhishegam for the Shirdi Baba idol.
Yes.
And the Vibhuti Abhishegam, the famous Vibhuti Abhishegam. After that, Swami to sprinkle that water on all the devotees. And it has been such a memorable time we used to have.
I think everyone who was present for any Dasara festival would go back with like loads of memories, loads of precious moments with the avatar.
In fact, there is something so unique, Swami used to, even the entire being used to glow. That was such a fantastic moment for all of us.
There is something, I think the whole ambience also used to be so charged up.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, in the remote corners of my heart, I used to have the desire, how fortunate these priests are. If we also could get a chance to sit near the Lord, in front of the Lord, and could chant something. So this used to go on in my mind. And it was in the year, if I correctly remember, 76 or 77, I started inquiring what we can do during these 10 days of worship. Then someone suggested that usually during these days, they used to have the Parayanam of Durga Saptashati. There are 13 chapters in this particular book, Durga Saptashati. And this is about the wonderful events or the great valor of Mother Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati. It has been described so beautifully. So, they said, someone suggested that this is what they do during Dasara. So, I thought, if that is so, I wanted to do that. Because I don't require anybody's permission for that. I will sit somewhere and do it so that Swami will be happy with me and I can go more closer to Him.
Yes.
That is
do right. Something special so that it
to get His attention.
To get more close to Swami.
Absolutely. So then somehow I managed to procure a book of Durga Saptashati. But then somebody else suggested, see, simply reading of the book is no use. Somebody has to initiate you into that. There is a Mula Bija Mantra is there. Unless it is initiated, it is not, some guru should be there to initiate that. Otherwise, there is no point in doing any of this Parayana. So, I didn't know. I was desperate. I wanted to do. Then I inquired that it was Padmanabha Shastri, the then Mandir Pujari. He regularly used to do the Saptashabdi Parayana during the 9 days of Dasara on the stage.
Okay.
So I know him personally. So I thought, why not I go to him and ask him, request him, pray to him to initiate me to this, so that I will not lose this great opportunity of doing it for Swami. And I had one more friend of mine who used to be always with me those days. So whatever we do, we used to discuss between ourselves, and we used to carry on. So when I asked him, he also liked the idea. He also got a book. And both of us approached Padmanabha Shastri and told, initially we asked him what are the methods of using the Durga Saptashati. We have heard them people doing it in 7 days, we have to finish it. So that is the idea I also had. Within 7 days, it appeared to be a small book. I think I can finish it in 7 days. But he said, no, in fact it is not merely reading. He said, the entire book has to be finished in the whole day.
Whole day, every day.
Every day, the entire book has to be finished. In fact, that is what he does, it seems.
Padmanabha
Shastri Garu. And not only that, it is not reading that book alone. Before that, there is what is called the Navanga Puja, which is called Argalam, Kelakam, Kavacham, Dhyanam. There are so many things are there. Navanga Pujas are also there. So you have to do that, then you have to read this. So he said, he did not encourage us so much, because he said that it takes nearly 4 to 5 hours. So with your busy schedule in Prashantanilayam, it is not possible for you. That's okay. If you pray to Swami, that is fine. But somehow it did not deter us from, he said, we indirectly asked him a question, but people say that somebody has to initiate you into this. He said, that is true. Unless you are initiated, whatever you do is going to be waste. Then we asked him, is there is anyone who can initiate us into it without directly asking? He said, I really don't know. And then he said, sir, at least we know. You are there. You are so experienced in this. Why don't you please initiate? He immediately said, me? No chance. Oh. No. I cannot initiate anyone into this. Sir, please. We want to do it for Swami. We don't have anybody else. Where else we can go? Whom else we can ask? He said, why don't you ask Swami to initiate you? My God. That was the ultimate. In fact, we are doing all these things order to get closer to him. And he has gone a direct step further. And he says, but what he told us, it really struck us. But then he refused us. He said he will not do it for us. So we were a bit sad. Then the next step, what to do? Somehow or other we want to do it. Then the what he told, it started lingering in our mind. Why don't you ask Swami to initiate? My God, we have never tried such a thing. But somehow we both got an idea. He said, why not we do one thing? The Moola Mantra only Swami has to initiate. We will write down the main Moola Mantra. It was not available in the textbook. So we have written down from some source that the Moola Mantras and other things. And
someone has to initiate you through the Moola Mantra.
Yes, yes. That is the basic kade. We have written down that in a paper. And what we thought that when Swami comes, at least let us get our book blessed from Swami. Then at least we will have the confidence that we will do something about.
You have received
in some way
initiation from Swami.
So both of us that day, around evening, I think it was around 4 o'clock, we had written that page and kept it inside the Durga Saptashati book. And we kept it in front of us and we were sitting normally. When Swami opened the door, to be honest with you, Swami used to stay in the old mandir.
This is in the Prashantanilayam Mandir.
Yes. Swami used to so beautifully glide out of the interview room every day in the evening. So that time there is no music, nothing. It used to be all pin drop silence. And when Swami opened the door, you know what he did? We did not even make any movement or nothing. We were sitting normally because we were with mixed question of fear and awe, and we don't know how to approach it. So all our courage had just vanished from us. We did not have any courage at all. We didn't have even the guts to lift the book in front of us.
It's just a desperate feeling to do and somehow get some way to get started.
But you know what Swami did? Swami opened the door. He fixed his gaze only on two of us. He came straight walking towards us. And he himself stretched the hand for the books what we have. So he took the book. First he took the book from me. The next part what he did was, he pulled out the paper what was inside the book. And he read the mantra. Then he opened the book. He saw the book. Then he asked in Telugu, Devi Mahatmya Parayanam Jestava? Swami asked him, are you going to do the Devi Mahatmya Parayanam? Yes, Swami, you want to do. Manchidi Cheyandi. Very happy, do it. Wow. He blessed the book and that mantra and gave it back. He also took from the other boy, he opened the book, he pulled out the paper and he blessed it and gave it back to him. You can imagine what would have been our state of mind.
Words, yeah. Speechless. I mean,
we were in the nth heaven.
Bountiful
and
blessing.
Only the tears of gratitude were flowing from our eyes.
You wanted to be close to Swami. Here, Bhagwan, even before you started and undertaken the project, is already blessing you
all
so much.
Blessing. So, that gave lot of impetus for us to start off. But whatever we want to do very strict way. See, our idea is, it has to be, whatever we give to God, it should be 100%, nothing this way or that way. So even without drinking a drop of water, we want to do it, no food. So you can imagine 4 to 5 hours we have to do it. But at the same time, we are also bound by the so many other commitments what
yes.
we have in Mandir. Early morning, we have to attend the Omkaran Suprabhadam and Veda Parayanam in the morning. And by 8:30, 9 o'clock, we have to go to the Purnachandra Auditorium because Swami will come there. Of course, those days there is no Vedam chanting for us. Though we knew Vedam, we used to sit part of the audience. But by 8:30, you have to be in Purnachandra Auditorium. And Swami used to be there till 11 o'clock. After the Mahamangala Arati, only Swami used to go back. Then, again, by evening, by 4 o'clock, 4:30, the Vidwan Mahasabha used to be there in Purnachandra Auditorium. So, to get the front place, we used to rush there. But when to do it?
And by the time that program ends, it will be 6:37.
The point was, we don't want to break it. Like, no, you start the puja for some time, then you go outside and have a cup of coffee and tiffin and come and continue. No, we want to do it at a stretch. So, we don't want to break this woe. But how to go about with it? We did not have any clue how to go about it. Then, I think night time is the only time available without disturbance. So, what we did was, every day, early morning, 1:30 we used to get up.
1:30 in the morning?
Morning, we used to get up.
Oh my God.
Because we wanted to finish our bath, finish the entire Parayanam before 5:30, you know, the Veda Parayanam will start. Before that, we have to be there.
Before the Suprabhatam.
Suprabhatam, we have to be there. And what to do? That is another question. The problem was, we wanted to do it in the 100% purity. I mean, we wanted to do it in a beautiful way. So the only place we found was Mandir. And Mandir, luckily Swami had given both of us the greatest good fortune to sleep upstairs in the side rooms there. So we found one room. So anyway, the key was with us. So we had the freedom to go inside and come out anytime we want. So inside the Mandir, Swami's upstairs, opposite room itself, we kept our all the puja materials, a lamp and everything. And we started the Parayana.
Every day, 1:30 a.m.
And all these days, with all the full concern, because first time you are doing, you are really scared of going wrong anywhere. We don't want to make any mistakes or anything.
And since you are reading it for the first time, you will take longer.
Very long time. And it is so difficult it is. So difficult it is. And there are so many things. In fact, even the Kavacham, and not only that, Hridayam, there are certain things where you have to do so many. Each one will have its own sub-mantras, which we have to do 108 times and all. With all the bijaksharas. So it was, but we were doing, really enjoying it. We were feeling that presence of Swami. and we continued. So the last day was the Vijayadashmi day, and that day the program was only at 9:30. I think it was a Monday or something. That is why, because of the Rav Kalam, Swami had postponed the thing, procession at 9:30. So that gave us some relief, because 9:30 means we need not rush and occupy, because Swami had sent word that Vedam boys can go in procession. That was the first time. Only the first day and last day we used to get a chance to go on the stage. So Swami has sent word that we can go on procession. So that day, after finishing Vedam, I started the Parayanam. But of course, it being daytime, we cannot go upstairs Swami's room there. So what I used to do was, the old hostel where the present Vrindavan boys, they come and stay in the East Prashanti extension, which is directly opposite to the Mandir. In fact, when we were there those days, we used to stay in one of the rooms there. And the advantage what we had was, all the time we used to either sit in the B floor or C floor balcony outside, because that is exactly in par length with the Mandir balcony.
Same height.
So Swami quite often used to come out of his room, and from there he used to watch who is there. But the other devotees, those who are on the ground level, they cannot see.
Yes.
So we can see him and he can see us.
Wow.
In fact, our afternoon hours we used to spend only waiting for Swami. And there are days that Swami used to open the door and he'll just peep outside for a second, then he'll go off inside. If you are looking here and there that time, you are lost. So our entire gaze used to be fixed near the Swami's door, that when he is going to come out, when is he going to come out. All our mind, thought, everything used to be focused near the door when Swami is going to come. We used to enjoy like that. So last day I was facing that door and I was sitting in the B floor. All the other students have already gone to catch their place in the Purnachandra auditorium. I was there alone and I was doing the final day Parayanam.
That day you did later in the day?
Later.
Not in the...
Because enough time was there, I didn't want to hurry up. So I finished my Parayanam. I was doing my Aparadha Kshama Stotram. See, more than in that entire Devi Saptasati, after finishing, when Aparadha Kshama Stotram, it is something which you pray to Mother. He says, Aparadha Sahasrani Kriyante Aharnishammaya. Oh Mother, I am doing thousands of faults day and night, but Dasoyam Idimam Matva Chamaswa Saishwari used to say, consider me as your servant and please forgive me for whatever I am doing. So when I was doing that last Aparadha Kshama Stotram, somehow I couldn't resist my tears. And after finishing the Aparadha Kshama Stotram, I did namaskar on the floor. And when I lifted, what did I find? I saw Swami was standing. He has come outside the door. He's standing and steadily looking at me from there. From the terrace, from there, he signed. He called me.
He beckoned you.
He beckoned me.
Oh my God.
My God. I really ran, because I had to come down the flight of steps from the East Prashanti.
Yes.
Then I have to run to the Swami's Mandir there. And when I ran there, Swami came forward near the balcony. He just smiled at me and said, Pillal kanda rediga undamani cheppu, tomidi naraki procession untundi, Vedam pillal nenni ready chey. He said, ask all the students to be ready for Vedam by 9:30, there will be procession. So let all the boys be ready. He smiled at me. But this is only nimitta matram. He has already sent the message the previous day.
Yes.
But this juncture, at this point where he called me and told me, and that was it for me. See, it is like no Mother Goddess herself is standing in front of me to accept the final offering. See, these are the moments, really... Even now when I recollect, all my hairs are standing at end.
The whole purpose of doing this was to get close and he gave you that.
He has given that darshan, sparshan and sambhashan, what more. Not only that, from then onwards, without missing for so many years, come what may, somehow I used to do this parayanam from those time onwards. And in fact, many of the children, Swami made me an instrument to initiate many of the, initiate means just to help the other children. The hostel, somehow our Dr. Lakshmi Narasimha, who was the registrar here, he called me and said, Vedanarayan, why don't you just help the other students also during Dasara to do Parayanam? And it started with a small number. Today, from each campus, children are doing, from Parthi campus, higher secondary school, Brindavan campus, all the...
So every day they chant the entire thing or they...
See, there, what happens because of the Grama Seva is also there. Some of the children want to go for Grama Seva also. So it is a real tapas. See, mind you, it is no ordinary joke. See, we are all youngsters. And we know the greatest challenge for us that with so much of energy, we cannot sit in one place. Even if it is a film, most interesting, after some time I think we get fed up. At that juncture, you imagine a child had to sit there for 4-5 hours with so many Sanskrit syllabus, which many of them, those who read, they have no background of Sanskrit, mind you. They are just doing for the love for Swami, that's all. And 4-5 hours, I know some of the children who start the first day, because after the Swami lights up the fire, then only they can start the first day Parayanam. I know that children, those who have come back without taking a drop of water, 3:30, even 4 o'clock from Poonachandra Auditorium back to their hostel.
Sitting there entire time
complete to this finishing this Durga Saptashati. So it is a tapas for them. And I know that, see, none of the children will do anything unless they really get a benefit out of it.
So every day they read the entire book?
Yes. Many of the children. But when they, some of the children, they want to go to Grama Seva also. At that time, of course, there are various methods of doing it. That in the Saptaham means in 7 days, you have to finish, of course, the Navanga, all the Navangam, plus along with that, first day, one chapter. The second day, 2 chapters. The third day, again, 1 chapter. And the 4th day, 4 chapters. Then the 5th day, 2 chapters. 6th day, 1 chapter. Then the 7th day, 2 chapters. That way also, if you don't have time, there is another way of doing the Saptaham. There are various methods of doing the Devi Mahatmyam. Or you can do the whole thing in 3 days. For that also, the 1st day, 1 chapter. The 2nd day, the 3 chapters. And the 3rd day, the rest of the chapters. There are totally 13 chapters are there actually. So there are various methods of you. So some of the boys, if they want to go for Grama Seva and other thing, they do the other thing quickly also, they finish. But nowadays, it has been, everybody has, that enthusiasm in doing that they have taken up. You can see that in Poonachandra Auditorium. In fact, on the left side of the left corner, the entire stage, from the beginning of Jesus Christ statue onwards till the end, it is occupied. Now, the space is not enough there. Even children are sitting down the in the auditorium.
Yes.
Where devotees are there also, they sit and they continue the Parayanam actually. One more beautiful incident which happened was, whenever I do the Parayanam, I always look at Swami as my mother. So, I put a towel in front of me. There is a Swami's photograph I keep. And I usually do the avahanam. I mentally pray Swami to come and sit down for the Parayanam. One day what had happened was I finished the Parayanam. After finishing the Parayanam, I fold my the darbha mat which I sat. I was folding the towel which I spread for Swami for asanam to sit down. I found it was so hot. And when I removed it, under that towel, it was full of water. Is it any tap which is broken or a water fallen from somewhere? In fact, that entire area did not have water source anywhere there. I was saying, where did this water come from? Only the towel which I had put under that. It was fully warm. How can the warmth and water go together? That's another thing. And it was full of water. I did not understand what is the significance of it. In fact, I finished at around 11:30, 12 o'clock. There were some sevadars who, during the Dasara time, they'll be on the stage bringing the various things. I called the other students also, showed them. Even they were surprised to see this wonderful miracle of Swami. He just wanted to show you that He is present with you all the time. And He wanted to just give you the indication in various sweet ways.
Amazing.
So that was Mr. Vedanarayan, who has been leading the Vedam chanting in Prashantinayam for several years now, besides teaching Sanskrit in the Sri Satyasai Higher Secondary School. The way Swami rewarded His penance of doing the Durga Saptasati, wasn't that so amazing? That is the greatest good fortune of living in the physical presence of the avatar. And that training that Swami gave him then has today become His armor, His pillar, His staff of support as He moves on further in His life. And He has inspired so many now to take up to this spiritual activity during this Dasara celebrations. And the way Swami has inspired so many in so different ways, that is so amazing and so mysterious. The way Swami gave the blessing of the vision of the mother principle to Vednarayan is what you heard. It was so direct. And Dr. Sonam, another old student, his experience of seeing the vision of the mother principle in Swami again was out of the world. And that happened during a bhajan session. And that experience is one which is very, very purifying. Let me play for you the first clip of Dr. Sonam's experience of how Swami blessed him with this vision of the mother. And then I'll play you two more clips. Each of them is very, very fascinating.
Whenever we come to Prashanti Nilayam at this time, during Dasara, we feel so nostalgic. We can almost go back in time when there would be an ad of festivity all around, and Swami would be going from this corner to that corner, giving instructions, and every time He would look at the students, and then He had some time for the students, some wisdom He would give them, one smile, one small gesture of compassion, and then the students would be so much geared up. And I am talking about a time when almost every activity in Prashanti Nilayam used to be taken over by the students whenever they used to be during festive occasions. We would come from Vrindavan in large buses, almost 8 bus loads of students. And then we would don the Sevadal scarf and badge.
You're talking about the 80s or 70s?
No, 70s.
70s.
The fag end of 70.
Yes.
And then the beginning of 80s, you know,
yes.
1980. And then we would be lodged in Ishwarama High School in the university campus. And then we would go and man every post. And then Swami, invariably, He would call all of us and we had a share of the opportunities. And then in Purnachanda Auditorium, throughout there would be this wonderful fragrance of the Yajnam. And the fragrance would be wafting all around, and then we would see Swami just hurrying from this corner to that corner. It used to be so beautiful. And it reminds me of just the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever we talk about Bhagwan, whenever we think about Bhagwan, we only think about His compassion, the motherly aspect of Bhagwan, the caring aspect of Bhagwan. And then, you know, it's also so beautifully, some poet has said, and it was sung so beautifully once upon a time, "Ae ma teri surat se alag, Bhagwan ki surat kya hogi?" And I just want to share with you a beautiful experience that I had in way back in 1984. That was a time when Swami had just picked me up and he told me that, hey, you are all the time singing about the motherly aspect. But then when you say Radha, when you talk about Parvati, it evokes sometimes, Swami said, among the people sitting outside, some of them, they think of their own Radhas and Parvatis instead of the mother goddess. So why do you tantalize them? Why don't you just sing on Krishna or Rama or Shiva? So it suddenly became a rule there that none of us, we were allowed to sing Radha Krishna, and there had to be so many changes in the permutations in the bhajans, you know.
So maybe Radha Krishna has become Sai Krishna.
It had to become Sai Krishna. So we had to make all those changes and be very careful. Then the first mistake that I committed, I thought, hey Vishwanath, hey, it's just Vishwanath. And there was no hidden mother aspect there. Hey Vishwanath, Gaurinath I had forgotten. And the moment I sang that, Swami just walked, came inside the bhajan hall. And he said, yesterday I gave this, you know, my commandment, you are not taking it seriously. You know, how could you sing Gaurinath? So that was the time. Now this was the fourth day of the Navaratri.
And this is interesting, this is happening during Navaratri.
During Navaratri. And it had started long time back, but then it went on through, and we were going through the Navaratri celebrations. On the fourth day, very casually, Vijay Sai.
Yes.
You remember that wonderful singer, and
yes,
Swami would lovingly call him M.S. Sivalakshmi, and so many so
yes,
many names he had, so many
yes,
affiliatives. Now this guy, he told me, Sonam, you should sing a song on the mother. And I was thinking of singing Jagato Dharini Mata Durga. And Swami came and sat on the throne. And then all of a sudden I forgot, I was totally blank about what I was supposed to sing, what I had thought of singing. And then what came through from my mouth at that time was the other bhajan, and another, completely another bhajan, Durga Bhavani Ma.
You had sung that before?
I had sung that before, but then I had thought of singing Jagato Dharini Mata Durga, and I was 100% sure that I would sing that bhajan. And then there I was totally blank, and instead of that bhajan, I started singing Durga Bhavani Ma. When I just started the bhajan, the first line, and I would close my eyes and sing, because that was the time there was a good chance that Swami might look at you.
Yes.
And then,
especially when you start, you won't see who is singing.
Especially when you start. And when you are, your eyes closed, and Swami would be intently looking at you, and when you would open your eyes and look at him, then he would look elsewhere.
Yes.
So I had closed my eyes, I was singing the bhajan, and I felt some commotion around me. So I was a little bit perturbed, and I looked around and everybody was laughing. And when I looked at Swami, Swami had made a gesture that this man has gone completely mad. So he was just using his index finger, and then, you know, it was a gesture that, you know, that I had completely gone mad.
They're showing his index finger on his head and, you know, rotating.
And rotating.
Yeah, to show that he's gone off.
Yeah, he's gone out of his mind.
Mind.
So when that happened, and everybody, I was totally flustered, but then the only way out was to close my eyes and then continue the bhajan. On the second line of the bhajan, there was a bigger ripple of laughter all around me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just opened my eyes, and at that time when I looked at Bhagwan, Swami was looking at me intently, and his face was flushed, and then his eyes were the eyes of compassion. I have never seen Bhagwan like that in my life. And then all of a sudden, I was on the Kali Kapalini Ma, mind you, Jai Jai Sai Ma, and his hair, you know, fell on his shoulder like a lock, like silken hair locks, you know. And then his lips were so red, his face, everything remained the same, but the lips were like, you know, it was so red.
You saw that transformation in Bhagwan's face.
The entire transformation, his complexion, everything so silken, so beautiful, and looking at me and smiling. That captivated me like anything. Even when I think of that moment today, you know, I feel so much in bliss. For one whole week after that, I just went and shared this with my Didi. And then for one whole week, I didn't feel like talking to anyone. I didn't feel like eating anything or drinking anything or doing anything else. I was totally captivated. So that bhajan was so beautiful. And I never forget that bhajan in my life. That composition is so beautiful.
I think whenever you sing that bhajan or someone else sings that bhajan, possibly the whole memory must be just coming back to you forcefully.
Yeah. It wonderful. Brings vivid memories of those days, you know.
It was a darshan. Swami made it very light. It almost, when you think of it now, he said that, you know, this person has gone mad. You've gone mad for God. You are totally lost in the love for God. And the Lord was so touched with that. You know, Swami always said there are so many kinds of madness in this world, but the best kind of madness that you can ever have, the object of envy for everyone is this madness for God.
Yes.
And possibly you were in that sort of a state, so much lost in His love. And He gave you that experience.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
But in retrospect, you know, Vishu, I thought about it so many times down these years, you know. I have been meditating on that beautiful form and that experience of mine. Then I felt that, you know, his gesture that this man has gone mad, because we are all supposed to go mad.
Exactly.
And then it was not happening. Because I am just sitting there and singing a bhajan. And, you know, like a machine, I just sit there and sing a bhajan in a very ritual manner. So many times I felt like banging my head on the wall. Because, you know, I am singing a bhajan in the presence, the very presence of the Lord, God Himself, the avatar. And then, why is it that I am not really going mad? Why is it that I am not becoming one with Him through that bhajan? So many years and years I have spent and then singing bhajan before Him. And then nothing like that. There was no change in my thinking, in my attitude, nothing. So many times I have really felt that way. But that day I felt, out of His compassion, this man is supposed to go mad. On the fourth day of Navaratri, He is singing a bhajan in my presence and he is not going mad. So He wanted to churn me up a little bit, make me really go mad, and then gave me that small, beautiful, blissful experience to make me feel that, you know, that madness. So It was His compassion. This is what I feel. There was nothing that was happening from me. He wanted me to experience that.
Maybe you should sing that bhajan, sir, for us.
I'll just sing it.
दुर्गा भवानी माँ जय जय साई माँ काली कपालिनी माँ जय जय साई माँ दुर्गा भवानी माँ जय जय साई माँ परम शिवायिनी माँ जय जय साई माँ परम शिवायिनी माँ जय जय साई माँ जगतोधारिणी माँ जय जय साई माँ जगतोधारिणी माँ जय जय साई माँ दुर्गा भवानी माँ जय जय साई माँ
थैंक यू सर वंडरफुल सो दैट वाज द सुप्रीमली सब्लिमेटिंग एक्सपीरियंस ऑफ सीइंग Sai as Sai Durga, as Sai Saraswati. This is what Dr. Sonam experienced, but Swami gave an altogether different but incredible experience to Dr. Sonam's grandmother, who believed in Tibetan Buddhism and only those gods and goddesses that are part of the Tibetan Buddhism religion. She did not have faith in anyone else as divine, but how Swami transformed her is really fabulous.
Yeah, I have one more experience I want to share with you.
Sure.
Now that is actually happened in 1984. And it was an experience that my grandmother had in Prashanti Nilayam. And I think I must have shared this earlier also, but then even at the cost of repetition, it's so beautiful. My grandmother was a very orthodox Buddhist. And apart from her language, that is the Bhutia southern dialect of Tibetan, and then apart from being a devotee of Goddess Tara and Guru Padma Sambhava, she could not think of any other deity. And she was not really exposed to any other god or goddess, you know.
So Goddess Tara is one of the deities in the...
Goddess Tara is the consort of Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara.
Yes.
Yeah. And now what happened was, she was so sure that coming to Prashanti Nilayam was a very blissful experience for her. But at the same time, she had been all the time worried what might happen to her, you know, after her death or at the time of her, you know, leaving this world. How would she really do it? Because they have never been able to, they have always been trained to think, you know, the Buddhist way.
Mm-hmm.
And
just,
that is the orthodox Buddhist way, that when they pass away, they have to go into the realms of the Amitabha Buddha.
Yes.
And then there are these beautiful texts where, you know, there are descriptions about the domain, the land of the Amitabha.
And the other worlds.
The other worlds, and, you know, so the whole system, the whole thinking, the thought process is different. So
she was anxious, how would it
so
be?
She was anxious that now that I have come to Prashant land, this cannot be definitely the land of the Amitabha.
Okay.
So Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba might be a great god or teacher or whatever she had thought, but definitely not my Amitabha. Definitely not my Tara.
Okay.
And she was an ardent devotee, disciple, devotee of Goddess Tara. And many times, lot of people, they have equated Tara with Durga. But then there is no such equation, because mother, it is just mother, you know, just the goddess mother. And it was during the Guru Purnima. We were all in the foregrounds of the mandir.
This is in the 60s?
No, this happened in 1984 only.
84? Okay.
Yeah, my granny, and she had just come here by Swami's grace. He had allowed her to come here and settle down here. So he had kindly given us a room here outside.
Wonderful.
Behind East Prashanti. There are these annexes.
Yes.
And we were just next door neighbor to the great Brahma Rishi Kamodhani.
Oh, wonderful.
So the next room was a...
But Swami had given you an accommodation at that time. I think that is a huge blessing.
And we were seated and listening to his divine discourse in Punyachanda Auditorium and Guru Purnima. And throughout the discourse, my grandmother had a vision of Mother Tara. In Swami's place.
Wow.
The entire length of the discourse, it was Mother Tara, that is Shweta Tara. Shweta Tara, there is this Harita Tara and Shweta Tara, two different emanations or aspects of the Mother Goddess. And it was the Shweta Tara, in Tibetan we call her Dolma.
Mm-hmm.
And she was Jitne Dolma, and Dankara also we call her. And Granny was so much overwhelmed, because she had a vision of Mother Tara long back so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a visionary that way. And then she had this darshan of Mother Tara in place of Swami throughout the length of the discourse. And then when we were back in our room, Granny was so happy, and she just hugged me and said, "Do you know what happened today? I found my salvation." She told me that I have found my Nirvana. I don't need to go anywhere else now. I am at the feet of the Creator, the one who has created everything, the omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent Adi Buddha. We have come at his lotus feet. I am 100% sure. I don't need to go anywhere else. And then when she passed away also, she died here in Prashanti Nilayam. When she left Gangtok, Sikkim, she said, "I never thought that I would never go back home," because she had come home. It was so beautiful.
Amazing.
So amazing experiences. These are some of the sublime experiences which I wanted to share with you.
So that is how Swami blessed the grandmother of Dr. Sonam. And in this conversation, I asked Dr. Sonam if he can share some of the stories behind some of his compositions on the mother, because he has been blessed to introduce many bhajans in Prashant Nilayam during his long
stay as a student at his lotus feet, being extremely talented as a singer and a harmonium player, he had this opportunity to bring in so many new compositions into the Sai Bhajan movement. And I asked him if he could share some of the tales behind the coming behind Bhagwan accepting some of his compositions, especially on the Devi.
You were telling me about bhajans. You know, Antar Jot Jagao Sai, I used to sing that bhajan. I learned that bhajan and came here and I had the chance to introduce that bhajan here. Yes. I learned it, but the bhajan was composed by a great bhajan composer in Calcutta, Devnath Mukherjee.
Okay.
He had composed this beautiful bhajan. And then in our earlier conversation, I have shared so many beautiful anecdotes of how Devnath Mukherjee was inspired to compose certain, yes, bhajans. Well, I want to share with you one or two bhajans of the Mother Goddess.
Sure, sir.
Which we are,
yes,
inspired to compose here.
Sure.
You know, those were the times when we never thought we would compose bhajans. Because, you know, technically we were unsound. We had never had any training, formal training in music, nothing. And then the biggest training ground, as I understand today, the best, the most sublime training ground is Prashanti Nilayam. And this is one place where even a novice comes here and then starts talking about raga, starts talking about rhythm and melody, and in all technical terms, you know, they start talking about music. And it happens here. And then very unknowingly, because there is no formal training program, mm-hmm, here. Now what happened was, we used to, you know, introduce new bhajans, and Swami would sit there with lot of, you know, seemingly he would be expecting a new composition. Are you singing something new today? And among the best bhajan singers here, there used to be a type of feeling, a type of longing to sing a new composition before Bhagwan. And that would, you know, Swami would raise his eyebrows and then...
And see Bhagwan's reaction.
And see Swami's reaction. That was the most, the height of it.
Yes.
The, you know, the zenith of that experience.
Yes.
So, I had composed a bhajan. When I say that I had composed a bhajan, I just, you know, you understand what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah, because we don't compose anything.
Yes.
So, we are in the process of, you know, losing that I-ness.
Yes.
And what happened was, there was a beautiful bhajan singer among the students named Arun Kumar Tiwari. He is a very big officer in the government of Andhra Pradesh today. And Arun Kumar Tiwari, Swami spent so many hours on end teaching him Tyagraj Kritis.
Okay.
And he was so singularly fortunate, like so many of our current students also.
Yes.
Swami has invested so much time on them, teaching them music, the nuances, subtle nuances of that composition. So, Arun Kumar Tiwari had asked me to compose a bhajan for him to sing before Swami. And I said, I don't know, let me pray. And in my prayer, a beautiful bhajan in Yaman, Mata Maheshwari Tribhuvan Janani,
yes,
it just, you know, it just evolved. It emerged. And I had been all the time praying that most of the Yaman bhajans, you know, the progression of notes, Nire Gare, Nire Sa, it goes like that. But I wanted to, because Nishad sounds so beautiful, and I wanted to, you know, have a bhajan in Yaman, starting on that note, Nishad. And then he fulfilled that wish, and that bhajan was composed. And then I was telling him the bhajan, and I'm just trying to share with you the air, the feel of that moment, you know. When I was telling him the bhajan in the music room, in the hostel, then just V. Kumar came there. And Vikumar told me that you are composing a song for him, and what about me? And then that became an inspiration to compose one more bhajan the next day. You know, for any good thing to happen, you need an inspiration. And that inspiration can come from any quarter in any form. So I learned in my life that, you know, I must worship any opportunity, any form, anything that happens in my life, you know, as his will, for something wonderful, a miracle to happen. Like a bhajan, the birth of a bhajan is no less than a miracle.
Absolutely.
And if the bhajan is sublime, because, you know, once I hear the bhajan myself, I am the first person to learn that bhajan. I am never the person who has composed the bhajan. I learn it myself properly, and then I share it with the person who is going to sing that bhajan, who has to sing that bhajan in the mandir. And then there ends the whole thing, you know. So Mata Maheshwari starts on this note, as you know it very well.
Mata Maheshwari Tribhuvan Janani Premamai Satisai Janani Tribhuvan Mohini Paap Vinashini Tribhuvan Mohini Paap Vinashini Ved Kalamai Kalyan Daini Jagato Dharini Pariti Narayani Premamai Satya Sai Janani Mata Maheshwari Tribhuvan Janani.
Amazing.
This note is so beautiful.
So, yes, it's really, and the composition itself is so melodious and profound, even the lyrics.
Yeah, and in this bhajan, from the original, the only deviation or change that we had to do was at that time, when Swami said, otherwise it was Shiva Manmohini.
Okay.
Shiva Manmohini Paap Vinashin.
When Swami said Shiva Manmohini, all those things you should stop, then we sang Tribhuvan Mohini. And you know, our boys are so good in innovating.
Yes, wonderful. And that is what has stayed on for all these years. Wonderful. So he sang that. What was Bhagwan's reaction? Do you remember?
It used to be all the time, whenever we would sing a bhajan in his presence, praying to him, Swami, please accept the bhajan. It is yours, and accept what is yours already. And then that day, because at least I would be praying that way. And then Swami would make all the best of, you know, sublime gestures. You know how he would lift a bhajan, those beautiful waving of the hand in the empty air, you know. And then the way he would touch his eyebrows. And then the way he would just, you know, swing from this end to that and his swinging. And then apart from that, he would just hold a tuft of hair. And then seemingly he would just be, you know, biting that, you know, the tuft of hair. And then he would leave it. And every gesture would make him look so beautiful, so beautiful. And that was the time when he sang this bhajan, he did this.
Oh my God.
I have also seen moments wherein we were a little bit disarrayed and we were not really sure. And we were either too sure of ourselves. And then we thought that we are here, bang, you know, we are introducing a new beautiful composition. And Swami has stopped a bhajan right in the middle of it and said, what composition is this? So bad. Don't sing it again. And the bhajan got docked completely for good. Was shelved for good. He has done that also. So every moment, through these subtle gestures, Swami has always taught us like a mother, you know, how we should be supplicants, how we should surrender ourselves completely. And that is the only way he accepts a prayer in the form of a bhajan.
I think all the time, as Mother Durga, he is just purifying us. I think that is the only mission. Many times when I think about Bhagwan, even when I think of him as the mother, what comes to mind is Sai Sadguru Saraswati.
Yeah.
Because all the time he is that Sadguru, as Mother Saraswati, as Mother Durga, but all the time he wants to purify us. All the time he wants to sublimate our tendencies. And that goes on. Wonderful, sir. Thank you very much, sir. I know you have had so many beautiful experiences with Bhagwan and you have been part of the bhajan movement in such a strong way, thanks to Bhagwan's blessings for so many years. And even now, even though you don't live in Prashanti Nilam, you are practically here every other occasion, every other month. You keep coming to Prashanti Nilam and then involved in Sikkim in the Sai Bhajan movement there. Thank you so much for coming. And please do share these moments that you have had with Bhagwan whenever you come to Prashanti Nilam. Please do drop in, because these are moments which are treasure for posterity. These are moments which are eternal source of inspiration for all of us.
Vishu, before we close, can I just, with your permission, sing one more bhajan?
Oh, definitely.
This is a beautiful bhajan that I used to sing. A lot of boys used to sing. But I loved singing this bhajan before Bhagwan. Raja Rajeshwari Jagan Mohini.
Definitely, sir. Please go.
And it's a bhajan which has a very strong Bengal accent.
Okay.
And, you know, and whenever I sang this bhajan, I used to think of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa.
Yes.
And I used to think that maybe, you know, he used to sing this way. And because I used to think of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa before singing singing this bhajan, you know, it used to put me in a very sublime mood already to sing this bhajan. And as I understand today, maybe this is how we have to, you know, equate ourselves, or we have to juxtapose ourselves to some of these saints, and
yes,
then we start getting those positive vibrations and positive,
yes,
feel before singing a bhajan. And especially when you sing, whenever I sang Chira Sukhdayini Sai Janani, it was my experience that I have seen Swami just closing his eyes and, you know, accepting the prayer, because it was not the tune per se, but the prayer that I was able to at that time, by again, that too, by His grace alone,
yes,
I was able to pray to Him.
Because He is the only one who can give us that permanent happiness.
Yeah.
Chira Sukhdayini.
Raj Rajeshwari Jagan Mohini Sai, Raj Rajeshwari Jagan Mohini, Jagadambe Mangalakarini, Jagadambe Mangalakarini Sai, Raj Rajeshwari Jagan Mohini, Jagato Dharini Vigna Vinashini, Jagato Dharini Vigna Vinashini, Chira Sukhdayini Sai Janani, Chira Sukhdayini Sai Janani, Raj Rajeshwari Jagan Mohini.
Wonderful, sir.
Thank you so much.
So that was Dr. Sonam, an alumnus of Bhagwan's university, sharing with us the stories behind some of his compositions. And it ended with the bhajan Raja Rajeshwari, Chira Sukhadayini Sai Janani. Mother Sai is the only one in this universe who can give us the happiness that is lasting, that is permanent. That is what is meant by Chira Sukhadayini. In fact, on one occasion many years ago, Swami wrote a prayer and gave it to the students and said, this is how you should pray to Mother Sai during Dasara. Swami himself wrote the prayer. He taught us how we should pray to him. And in that letter, Swami writes, boys, this is how you should pray. Mother Sai, we are thy children within thy womb. As the mother lovingly bears the hammerings of the embryo, thou too, in thy supreme patience and compassion, does put up with the painful knocks we give thee by our misdeeds. Thou art the mother cheerfully doing everything only for our sake, for your children. As Mother Durga, thou dost drive away our difficulties and protect us. As Mother Saraswati, thou endows us with wisdom. As Mother Lakshmi, thou gives us the treasure of wealth in correct measure. And as Mother Annapurna, thou fondly feeds us. Even without our entreaties, children that we are, thou blesses us of thy own accord at the right time with the right things. However, for our satisfaction, Mother, we pray. We pray, feed us with the dishes of devotion for the heart, and feed us with the wisdom for the brain,
Grant us the vision to realize that Thou art the one power, only power, immanent, everywhere, in everything. This is the prayer that Swami wrote and sent it to the boys in Vrindavan. Said this is how we should pray to the Lord. We should pray to the Lord to bless us with devotion, to bless us with the wisdom, to bless us with the vision that we see Him everywhere, in everything. Dear listeners, as Dasara approaches, let us please make use of this opportunity, this 9 days, to sublimate our senses and purify our being so that we can see Him in everything that we do and in everything that surrounds us all the time. That is the way we can feel Him living in God. Swami says is spirituality. Let us live in Him all the time. And with this, it's time to wind up this session of Thursday Live from the studios of Radio Sai. This time in the studios now is already 10:10. Thank you so much for being with us. Even as I sign off now, you will continue to listen to a drama by youth from Uttar Pradesh and Uttarakhand, which is presented in front of Bhagwan on 18th September 2008. It is entitled Sai Avataran Rahasya, the mystery of the Sai advent. So that is what you will continue to listen now. Thank you so much. And if you have any queries, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. And if you missed any part of the program, you can download and listen to this entire episode from our website, radiosai.org, in a couple of days. Thank you so much. And finally, a sweet goodbye and loving Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam.